Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today, I'm working on the second part of overcoming procrastination. And our verse is, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Luke 9:61-62. And we're starting with number 9. These are reasons that we might procrastinate. So we might feel like we don't have the skill or the supplies to do the task, and so we just need to seek help, training, and funding. Number 10, we're just stalled. We can't think of anything more. Well, we need to brainstorm, and we need to ask God for all wisdom who helps us. Number 11, we have a false sense of timing. We think it wasn't supposed to take as long as it's taking, so we need to realistically evaluate the time needed for the job and learn to time our activities better. I remember how I said that this could help your children as well. Number 12, the priority is low for you. Set a date and a time to do it. Number 13, just boredom set in. So set some kind of reward for doing it. I used to set a reward that I could call a friend or call my sister if I got it done. Number 14, pleasure seeking. Give yourself some small rewards for completing the small parts of what needs to be done. Number 15, you are a habitual procrastinator. And, you know, I think all children are born to procrastinate. So you tackle one task at a time and start the habit of doing it. Don't do something else until you have it done. Number 16, set up a distraction-free work area. That is a great idea. Now, students have lots of distraction because other students are working around them. You may be cooking something in the kitchen if you're homeschooling. If you're at school, you have other grades that you might be working with. So setting up a distraction-free work area can sometimes really be difficult for a child. But that might be just what you need to do and help them get, you know, don't come back to me for 10 minutes. Just go in your room and work on this all by yourself and come back in 10 minutes. And I need to stop there. So I guess tomorrow we'll start with the third part of overcoming procrastination. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to overcome our habits of procrastination. We realize that you've given us all equal amount of time. We want to help our students to also learn how to deal with procrastination. If they can start at this young age, how much they can accomplish for you, Lord. Lord, we pray for the young man that is really fighting for his life. And we pray for the family whose grandma is not doing well. Lord, we know time's running out. We want your Holy Spirit to fill us, and we want to accomplish what you would have us accomplish. And so, Lord, I ask that you be with this show, that it will be all said to your honor and glory. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! So since I'm going to be talking about math in my curriculum corner, I thought I would integrate my arts and crafts with a math game or games. And I've put it on my Pinterest in the math section, and you can download free edible puzzle boards there. Domino's puzzle boards. Almost every family has Domino's. I know that I gave probably 5 Domino's sets to our local Salvation Army this summer, and I still have 3 or 4 sets at my little school. Anyway, you print out. You can do addition facts. You can do multiplication facts or decimal multiplication. Each puzzle board is 2 pages. And you glue or tape the 2 pages of the puzzle together. You could make up your own if you wanted to. You'd have to have maybe the bigger kids make the board. They could look at the board. You start in one place, and you have to put dominoes on there that either multiply together, if you're doing a multiplication one, would equal the number that you have there, or an addition game or a subtraction game. And it would be a fun thing for a big kid to do. You know, you probably get the idea of what I'm talking about. Like if you have 4 on one end and 2 on the other, then that would answer the question. I'll just love the idea. Anyway, there's lots of those. So that's my arts and crafts idea. Have your big kids make domino game boards for the younger kids to play. And they can play with them too. They learn a lot in making the game. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. I know that I get so many questions about what curriculum to use. And of course, they're asking about what textbooks to use. But let's say you didn't want to use any textbooks, or you have a hodgepodge of textbooks that you can use as resources. You don't have to go out and buy another book. You have everything that you need. Math goes something like this. We start the year out with place value, learning the ones column, the tens column, the hundreds column, as many columns as you can learn. I mean, kids really find it interesting that each one of those numbers represents a place value. So learn place value. And then when you go into addition and they understand, when you say, okay, add up the ones first and then you add the tens, you might have to break apart the ones if you have something that's 10 or greater and carry it or regroup it over to the 10 spot, and so on and so on and so forth. In fact, I might talk about how you would do those first 2 units, place value and addition. There's a lot of things you can do at home. You do not need worksheets. You can count things. You can group things. You can make your own place value charts and use those to do addition. You can use flashcards and memorize addition facts. If we spent more time helping our students understand place value and understand the addition families, the addition family, like 7 plus 2 is 9 and 2 plus 7 is 9. Now we've already taught them about the rules that in addition, it doesn't matter which number you have first, it's going to equal the same number. And once they get very comfortable learning, knowing their addition tables, and then take it into subtraction. And then now you have a family that you can easily show. I mean, I look at what the workbooks and the textbooks, they don't spend enough time in just drilling these fact families. They don't drill them enough. You know, 7 plus 2 equals 9, but 9 take away 7 equals 2, and 9 take away 2 equals 7. If the children got that well into their mind, the rest of the work that they do later on would go so easy because they already understand addition and subtraction fact families. So you can do so much with that. And maybe tomorrow I'll talk about multiplication and division. So we probably will spend a couple of days just talking about everything you can do in math without having one single textbook. All you need is paper, pencils, and things that you can find in your kitchen to use as counters can help the younger ones and the older ones There's so much they can learn and do well with just knowing. Start out with place value, addition, and subtraction. Well, that concludes my curriculum corner. Please stay tuned for Questions Parents Ask. Questions Parents Ask. This question comes in from a man, and he says, do you believe it's okay for Christians to see counselors? If so, are there steps to take before going to one? I absolutely believe it's okay for Christians to seek counselors. In our day and age, we have chemical imbalances, we have hormonal imbalances, we have things going on with our young people that we just can't always handle ourselves. And it's perfectly appropriate to see a counselor. You would go to a medical doctor for a medical issue. Well, sometimes mental health, we need to have some professionals help us. That's my opinion, you know, to take it for whatever it's worth. Like a little child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers. A newborn infant doesn't have the ability to express their love for you, your spouse, siblings, or God. But that doesn't hinder you from loving that infant and having that special bond. God is not hindered either. As parents and caregivers, we partner with God in order for faith, trust, and love to develop in that infant. This relationship forms the foundation for later beliefs about God. Studies on the early experiences of infants and toddlers with the natural world have been positively linked with the development of imagination and the sense of wonder. This sense of wonder leads to an appreciation of creation and ultimately to an understanding of the nature of man and his relationship to God. It's through wonder and the imagination that the child becomes a lifelong learner. For more information about Like a Little Child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers, go to homeschoolcompanion.org. Or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Wes Doffenbaugh, and he has written a book called 21 Ways to Forgive, and the subtitle is Plus 9 Reasons Why We Must Forgive. Welcome, Wes, to our show.
It's nice to be here.
You are a teacher and evangelist, and you travel nationwide holding revivals and seminars in churches. You have a compassionate interest in helping Native pastors around the world, as well as widows and orphans. Yeah, that has become such a driving force in your life that you are here with us today to promote this ministry, and we're so glad you're here. 21 Ways to Forgive. I can only think of one way myself right now, so maybe you can start unpacking these ways for us.
I would love to do that. Well, the idea is I've been in the ministry 44 years, and I've had to learn oodles of things about forgiveness, or I wouldn't have remained in the ministry.
Yes.
So sometimes in life, you'll get in a crisis where what you know just doesn't seem to work. And then at that point, God would teach me something new and give me a new technique. So some of these are used more often than others. Some are favorites. But the first three, for instance, would make it so you don't have to forgive in the first place. So the very first of the 21 ways is to overlook it. So the Bible says it's a wise man's glory to overlook an offense. So if you overlook it, you don't have to wait 3 days and say, okay, God, I forgive that jerk. You know, you just overlooked it. And so that's a marvelous way. And then the illustrations in the book, we have 40 illustrations. So we show an open can of gasoline with an open can of water, and a burning ember flies into the open can of water. And the question is, what will happen? And of course, it will just go out. But if it flies into an open can of gasoline, what will happen? And of course, then it will explode. So then we show this huge explosion. And then the idea there is the Holy Spirit will say to us now, a burning ember of offense flew into you and you exploded. What does that mean? So you say, well, okay, Holy Spirit, that means I was full of gas. In other words,
the
toxic gasoline of pride and irritability and stuff like that. So anyway, I love to make a point and then illustrate it with a picture to where people can't forget it.
Do you do the illustrations?
I think them up with the help of the Holy Spirit, and then I hire a very professional artist to draw them.
I love the pictures. And, you know, if you look at Kohlberg's level of development, the lowest level, which we see in young kids, is you do something because you don't want to be punished. And you actually bring that out in your first chapter. We forgive so we don't go to hell. In other words, we don't want to get punished. But as the book progresses, and I don't know if you did this with intention, but it actually goes on to higher and higher levels of moral development.
Unintentional.
It's pretty cool because there are so many ways to forgive, but there has to be some, you know, a few ways that you have found that you use the most often.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's all right if I tell you one?
Yes, yes.
When I was 23, I was directing a choir practice on a Saturday morning, and a deacon walked in with a drunk man and knelt at the altar area and began to loudly pray and interrupt the choir practice. So when that man would get drunk, he'd want to come in and pray. And I had already prayed with him 2 hours one day and 2 hours that other day, so I knew what was going to happen. So I waited about 5 minutes, and they weren't going to move, and I couldn't move the choir. So I knelt down by the deacon, and I whispered, "Would you please take this man in another room and pray with him there as long as you like?" And he just jumped to his feet and screamed at the top of his voice, "How can you call yourself a man of God and turn a lost sinner away from God's holy altar?" And I just kind of smiled at him and didn't say anything. So he turned around and stomped off, and his wife was terribly embarrassed. She was in the choir, and I smoothed everything down. But as he walked through that door, in my heart, I said, "You big turkey, you." And then the next day, he was on the other side of the church, and I thought he'd come and apologize, but he didn't. So I looked at him, and in my heart, I said, "He's a bigger turkey than I thought he was." And God began to convict me, and I thought, "Why are you convicting me?" And I said, "Lord, don't you remember that Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. But he hasn't repented, and that's why I haven't forgiven him." Now, once in a while, God speaks to me, okay? And I wish he spoke to me a whole lot more. You can pray that he does, okay? But when I said that, God spoke these very words. He said, "You're just like a man that went down to the beach and a seagull flew over his head and had a bowel movement that landed right on his nose. And he looked at the bird as it flew away and said, 'You dirty bird, you, I'm going to leave this right here on my face until you come back and wipe it off.'" Now, I was just stunned. And then God spoke again, and he said, "Bitterness is showing on your face, and you can't hide it." And I said, "Well, how do I get it off?" And he said, "Forgive him before he asks." So that's number 8 of the 21
yeah, I
ways.
Have. Did you do a picture of it?
I did that picture of it.
I've got to see
when
this.
When you find number 8 there, let me turn that. Right, this is still in the. There's a part 1 and a part 2.
Okay.
And in part 2, then it's number 8.
Yeah. So we're looking at the book that Wes Doffenbaugh. Wrote called 21 Ways to Forgive. There it is, the picture of the
seagull. So you know, you just have to wipe it off your nose. You just have to say, you know, the bird's not coming back.
Yes.
And most people are never going to ask forgiveness.
That's
so if you're
right.
waiting for them to ask forgiveness, it's probably not going to happen. And you could wear bitterness around the rest of your life, and with it ever increasing and showing on your face. So I just forgave that guy with all my heart, but I didn't tell him because that would have spoiled it. So whenever I was around him, I was just so friendly as if nothing had happened. And he started bringing me presents. He never said he was sorry, but he brought me homemade granola and deer venison.
Yes.
And we became friends. So, you know, as a young associate, I learned that. And I would forgive everybody right away. See, I never wanted to get caught with bitterness on my face.
Yes.
So then I became a lead pastor. I pioneered a church and became the lead pastor about 8 years later. And I always tell people birds flew over in herds when I did that. And I was just, I forgive them. So one day a prophetic lady came to me and she said, "The Holy Spirit sent me over here to tell you that you're holding on to something in one of your hands. and you can only work with one hand, and he wants you to let go of what you're holding on to so you can work with two hands, and he'll tell you what you're holding on to. So I thought that sounded really crazy, but when I prayed about it, I said, am I holding on to something in one of my hands? God said, yes. And I said, well, what? He said, it's what you wiped off your nose. And so what I was doing is I was carefully forgiving everybody, but I was rehearsing all the sad sorrow events, see?
Uh-huh.
And I said, look what that lady did to me, but I forgave her. And look what that man did to me, but I forgave him. And look what they did to me, but I forgave them. And then I'd kind of go, oh, God, has any pastor ever been so mistreated in the history of the world? So, see, when you wipe the bird stuff off your nose, you got to get it out of your hand. You got to forget it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not bitterness on your face. It's self-pity in your hand. And self-pity is a big problem.
When I look at the title, 21 Ways to Forgive, I think you could almost make a cool parody of the song. I forget how many ways it is to leave your lover, but oh. You would do 21 Ways to Forgive Your Brother.
Yeah, probably could.
I mean, there's so much wonderful humor, and I think God uses humor to bring and really cement lessons in our mind. So I'm talking to Wes Doffenbaugh.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about 21 ways to forgive plus 9 reasons we must forgive. And we've just gone through your pigeon experience. I think when I look back at my work in the church and a teacher certainly has a lot of pigeons flying overhead, you can't survive, really, without forgiving and forgetting. So what are some of the strategies to forgive and forget?
Well, one of my other favorite ones is called the Bank of Heaven. And the Lord taught me that when we forgive, our pain is not wasted. It's invested in the Bank of Heaven. Like the devil might say, well, you know, if you forgive, what about all your pain? Is it just going to be put in the trash and taken to the dumpster in the landfill? And God would say, no, it's going to be invested, and I'm going to give you dividends on it. So he showed me that when Stephen was being stoned, and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. All the pain of not seeing his wife or raising his kids or finishing his ministry, all that pain was invested in the Bank of Heaven. And that gave God a legal right to strike Saul of Tarsus, the most guilty man at that event, with a bolt of mercy instead of a bolt of justice. Because I had gone through a horrible church split that lasted 7 months, and I was beginning to think I could nominate a few people for God to just whack with a lightning bolt, you know, just take
yes.
them out with a bolt of justice. And when God began to teach me this, he was saying, if I struck them with justice, then there'd just be a puddle of grease, you know, that's they'd be burned up. That's all you'd have is a stain on the carpet. But if I struck them with mercy, you might get an apostle out of the deal. Which would you rather have, a grease spot or an apostle? I said,
wow,
well, I'd really rather have an apostle out of the deal.
Yeah.
So when someone's causing me a lot of pain, I use this one all the time. I'll say, Lord, now you know they're causing me a lot of pain. But it would make me so happy if you'd use my pain as a justification that gives you some legal right to strike them when they're not seeking you properly, to strike
yes.
them with mercy and reveal yourself to them like you did to the Apostle Paul. You know, how God,
yes.
a bolt of light struck him to the ground and Jesus spoke to him and turned him into an apostle instead of a grease spot.
Yes.
So the Bank of Heaven, that's number 10 of the 21 ways.
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.